Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
To convince a child to keep walking, try switching roles with them. Let the child play the role of the parent. They'll immediately do what you want them to do.
You are raising in your home people that the Bible is very clear about their status. They need to be converted, not just a conformity of their behavior. They need a transforming encounter with the gospel of Jesus Christ. That is the ultimate priority.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Is coronavirus a conspiracy? You better believe it is. This is Wretched Radio. All kinds of musings. Who's pulling the strings? Who's behind this shenanigan we call COVID-19? Is this political? Does this have something to do with the Illuminati? Are people trying to rig the 2020 election? What's going on behind the scenes? As a Christian, we don't need the internet to discover the answer. We need our Bibles. Is there a conspiracy theory behind COVID? Yeah, of course there is. There's a conspiracy behind every bad thing that happens. Who are these people that are behind this conspiracy? It's not people. It's beings. And you can read all about them in Ephesians 6. Who is behind whatever nefarious activities are taking place with coronavirus? Answer, the devil. I don't know if any of these conspiracy theories that we're reading about online are accurate. I don't know. I know there's a movie out right now that seems to be all the rage. It's the pandemic movie. It had something to do with Fauci and Bill Gates and the vaccine and how they might profit from it. Is any of that true? I don't know. But I do know of a conspiracy that is happening behind coronavirus. It is the devil. And he is conspiring. You say, to accomplish what? And the answer is anything antichrist, anything that hurts God's image bearers, anything that causes God to not be glorified to the max. There's your conspiracy right there. And it is a fact. Now, the question is, how does he do the voodoo that he do, frankly, oh, too well? Well, the reality is, I'm not sure his batting average is all that great. Because the devil is God's devil, God is the ultimate source of everything. He is not the author of evil. He's not the one who causes evil. He's not responsible for evil, but he ordains evil. And he ordains the activity of the devil. He lets him prowl about like a roaring lion, but only in as much as he wants him to. So God is still sovereign over everything. And yet, we see, courtesy of Ephesians 6, that there are principalities, there are powers, and they are doing anything and everything they can to cause confusion, to steal, to kill, to destroy. Anything good, they destroy it. Anything that is God-related, they hate it. Anything that reflects anything about his character and nature, they'd rather undermine it because they hate him that much. And I'm not sure that his batting average is all that great. Did you hear about the great virus fiasco, the global pandemic of 1973? Yeah, I don't recall that one. I think there was one in 68. Are you getting your dates confused? No, the devil tried that in 73, but it didn't happen. Oh, I didn't know about that. Oh, did you hear about the stock market collapse of 1964? I don't recall that. I've studied economics, and I don't. Well, the devil tried it. It just didn't work out. Do you remember the Supreme Court decision, the court case that happened in 1989, trying to make gay marriage legal? 89? I don't think that happened in 89. No, it didn't, but the devil tried. You see, he is throwing out schemes constantly. And I suspect most of the time they don't hit the bullseye. And if there is something that is big and awful going on, it is only because this time, if you will, the devil got lucky. God ordained it and everything came together. there's so much speculating that is going on, and it's, I guess, interesting dinner conversation. Is this about anti-Trump? Is this epidemiology gone wrong? Are these nothing but moralistic narcissists who try to shame anybody for being anti-lockdown? How is all of that, if you will, being orchestrated? Is there a human conspiracy? I don't know how that could possibly work. I don't know where that meeting was held. But I do know for a fact that the devil is constantly conspiring. And if a bunch of bad things got together causing a really big bad thing, which an entire global shutdown is a really big bad thing, not to mention the people who are dying and getting sick from it, it is only because his pulling a string here, throwing some Play-Doh there, this one just happened to come together and work. And frankly, he's probably just as surprised as we are. The devil is constantly scheming. That's what he does. And I think most of the time, it just doesn't come together. And this time, it did. I don't think that any of this was organized by human beings. It doesn't mean that they didn't play a role in it. It doesn't mean that if you think, oh, this thing that's happening here, the media, they're doing this for political reasons. Yep, perhaps they latched onto it and grabbed it. Did they concoct this? Who knows what went into their thinking? But I don't think that ABC, NBC, CNN got together and said, all right, this is what we're going to do. No, they just played out their desires. That somehow the devil must have been involved in them, and that contributed to anything that we see going on in the planet isn't necessarily a conspiracy by human beings. Are there people who conspire to do things? Of course they do. Just as we conspire to do good, there are people who conspire, even if they think they're doing good, to do evil. Does that mean that it is a conspiracy? I don't think so. Not on the human level, but I do think it is on the demonic level. And so if you are wondering, is this thing true? Did Fauci do this? Is Bill Gates doing that? Well, we'll find out. Time will reveal that. But if there is any grand conspiracy, then we know who is behind that. Let's just say one of these characters, Bob. Bob, it discovers he's trying to do something that's really bad, to profit from coronavirus. And we discover that's true. He really did. That was Bob acting as a sinful, unregenerated human being. Does that mean it was a conspiracy? I don't think so. What about the churches? The churches are being boarded up, shut down. Some are returning. They're able to do a little bit of this. I think it was the governor of Illinois who said, it could be another year. Another year? Is that a bunch of politicians conspiring against the church? I think those politicians are making their decisions, but the conspirator is the devil. He's the one behind it. Is he influencing people to make anti-God decisions? Of course he is. Again, even his conspiratorial efforts, quite honestly, I think that he just throws this, tries that, and like a Rubik's Cube, on occasion, it kind of all comes together and it's one great big mess. Most of the time, you never hear about the tricks that he is up to. And so as we continue to be hit by different stories, that they are sensational, they are interesting. And I am not suggesting, by the way, that Bob isn't up to something nefarious. But I don't think that Bob is able to pull off a conspiracy, or Bob flew to Switzerland in 2018 to get together with Bill Gates and Fauci to come up with a conspiracy, and then they sent texts to their buddies in the media to work. No, it just all came together. Wah and la, you've got yourself what we have and what we are dealing with. Are there people in the government that do bad things? Of course there are. Are they conspiring together? Well, I guess they might be doing that. But I know for a fact who is behind all of that. So perhaps, just perhaps, without getting engrossed in a study of the devil, without putting too much of our focus on Satan, we would do well to remember what is really going on. Not because we want to just figure out, all right, what's the next move that's going to be played out so we can figure out what's going to happen, but so that we remember, as we tend to get consumed with so much of the physical, we need to remember what kind of a battle this is. It is a spiritual battle. It's not a stock market battle. It's not a constitutional battle. That's all on the horizontal level. The spiritual level is where it's at, Daddy-O. That's what the devil is up to, and that's what he's interested in, to steal, to kill, and destroy. And when we remember that, rather than perhaps spending an inordinate amount of time trying to figure out who's doing what and who's conspiring with the next person, we go, wait a second, this is ultimately a battle for souls. This is a battle for family and all that is good and that is right and that is godly, and that we keep our energies and our efforts focused on the spiritual, not on human conspiracies, but on the spiritual realm and the spiritual level, so that we participate in the battle that matters. This is Wretched Radio.
Thanks for listening today. Appreciate when you choose to spend part of your day with us here at Wretched Radio. Our latest evangelistic resource is a booklet called The Man Who Split Time, 22 Proofs Jesus is God. Go to wretched.org/time and get your copy of The Man Who Split Time. Read it. See if you don't come back to get more copies to give away. I'm thinking you probably will. The world spends most of its time trying to persuade us that Jesus Christ was a man, a good teacher, a prophet, but no more than that. No, the Bible says no. The Man Who Split Time will explain how the Bible profoundly and undeniably proves that Jesus Christ is in fact God in the flesh. So stop by wretched.org/time. Get yourself a copy and read it, and then you'll be back to get more copies to hand out. wretched.org/time to get your copies of The Man Who Split Time. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel.
Not to say I told you so, but I've been sharing with you how Tomorrow Clubs think kids camps in Eastern Europe meeting weekly to hear the gospel. Kids get saved, parents get saved, and churches get revitalized. Here is just one example so I can say, I told you so.
There is actually was a dying church, only two families. So this lady, she's a school teacher. Someone told her about this village, so she came, and believe it or not, she has about 40 kids coming to the Tomorrow Club from the villages around. So the whole church is filled with kids.
Love hearing that. Would you please consider supporting your own Tomorrow Club in Eastern Europe? Kids are getting saved, families getting saved, and churches revitalized. $30 a month, 30 disciples. TomorrowClubs.org/wretched. TomorrowClubs.org/wretched.
Imagine, if you would, a man. A man who lived such an extraordinary life that Western civilization actually changed the entire calendar system to commemorate his birthday. The obvious question would be, who was that man? Followed by, what did he do to deserve such an honor? Well, that man doesn't have to be imagined. That individual is Jesus Christ. The Man Who Split Time, 22 Proofs Jesus is God, is the perfect booklet for every skeptic or unbeliever who believes that Jesus was just a mere mortal. To get your copies of The Man Who Split Time, visit wretched.org/time today. Read it, and you'll be back, and get me more copies to give away to anyone and everyone. The Man Who Split Time, 22 Proofs Jesus is God, is available now at wretched.org/time. wretched.org/time. Wretched. Amazing grace. Here's your invitation to support SOS Ministries. They want to see a God-fearing, gospel-proclaiming church rise up across Uganda and impact the whole of Ugandan society. SOS Ministries hopes to accomplish all of this with community outreach, Legacy Christian Academy, the Ministry of Church Strengthening, and the Shepherd's Training Center to thoroughly equip indigenous pastors. So would you consider supporting SOS Ministries? Go to sosministries.com. sosministries.com.
books of the Bible. Exodus is a story of God saving his people from oppression and giving them an identity and an inheritance. God gives Moses the Ten Commandments, which begin with the statement, "I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt." Good deeds have always been a response to God's saving work, not a means of earning salvation. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
A couple of conundrums and some comfort for your consideration. This is Wretched Radio. Question: does the devil know who's going to win the 2020 election? No. No, he doesn't. So how is he going about the business of conspiring to get the person that he wants elected? He's trying all kinds of schemes and things, but he doesn't know what's going to work either. The only one who knows who's going to win the election in 2020 is God himself. And so God will let the devil go about doing some business, being a rascal on this planet. He will either permit him to have success or he won't, because God is the one who is pulling the strings. It is not the devil. He does not know what next move is going to work. If there is a conspiracy behind COVID, it is Satan himself. But we need to note, he doesn't know what he's doing. Now, he's learned some tricks over the centuries and the millennia. He knows human nature pretty well. But he doesn't know what things are going to click and stick and what things are not. And so he can try all kinds of, he can release a news story against the guy that you want to be president. It might work. It might not. It could catch fire. It could just fizzle out because he doesn't know the future. And he doesn't know what is going to work and what isn't going to work. He does not know what is going to cause havoc and what isn't. He is trying perpetually and constantly to steal, to kill, and destroy. He does nothing good. He tells nothing that is the truth. And even if you could make the argument that sometimes he does speak the truth, it is only because he's using it as a lie to deceive. And so his motives and his intentions behind it are nothing but nefarious, but they are so limited. He's up to shenanigans all over the globe, and there are probably a billion, and I'm not kidding, a billion different things that he has tried. He's constantly striking out. They don't catch on. They don't grab the news headline. They don't affect people in a negative way, or at least not in the global way that he'd prefer. This one did. But we need to remember, he's, whatever the next move is, he's trying stuff. Now, he's thinking hard, perhaps, on what would be the smartest thing to do. But he doesn't know how it is going to work out. But we know that he's up to one thing. Whatever is a shot at God via people, and not just his church, I think especially his church, but not just his church, he likes that. He likes fear. He likes death. See, that's how he's conspiring. He knows that people fear death. In fact, I suspect that he, studying mankind, he realizes probably more than most of us do that we are living in a time when people fear death more than ever. For instance, he perhaps knows well the sales statistics of Purell. He sees that people, they sure are obsessed with killing germs. Does he tuck that away and give it a go? Sure. But he also studied the increased revenue in golf. And he maybe tried something to cause problems and havoc via Tiger Woods. Maybe he didn't. I don't know. But it didn't work. But this one did. But he never knows, and we should find some comfort in that. We shouldn't be walking around perpetually scared. We shouldn't be terrified. No, we shouldn't be foolish. We're certainly aware of the schemes of the devil, but we shouldn't be those who shake and quake and are so hand-wrung over the future. God's got it. So if you're seeing these conspiratorial stories, Let time reveal whether they are going to play out or not. There's conspiracies, by the way, on every side of the aisle, aren't there? Let other people get intrigued by those. Let other people get acid stomach over those things. We know who's behind it. We know that he's better than average at understanding humankind, but he does not know the future, and he doesn't know what is going to be successful or not. God does, and God loves his church. God loves his bride. God loves his people. And that is why we would do well to refocus our energies less on conspiratorial theories and more on God. For your consideration, consider the immensity of God. When was the last time you studied that attribute? The immensity of God. Was reading an article just this morning, smatter of fact, about the immensity of God. Here it is right here. This is from the Aquila Report. This is Isaiah 40:26. Lift up your eyes on high and see who has created these stars, the one who leads forth their host by number. Don't just skim over the top of that. Look up at the stars. Who is the one who organizes them by number? He calls them by name because of the greatness of his might and the strength of his power. Not one of them is missing. Isaiah 40:26. Isaiah talking about the damage that was going to be inflicted upon Israel, the scattering, the problems for their rebellion, their violating of the Mosaic covenant. And then he turns a corner and he starts to offer comfort. But don't forget, look at the stars. Who names them? Who numbers them? Who orders them? Who leads them? It is our immense God. And so now we reason from the greater to the lesser. If God has got that, don't you think he's got you? Seriously? I mean, I know the things, they look like mountains in front of us, but they're specks. They're nothing with God. And we study him and his immensity. And then we realize, frankly, the puniness of the devil and his ability. Yeah, he can do painful things. There's no question about it. But he is not omnipotent. He's not omnipresent. He is not omniscient. Only one is God. Perhaps these little statistics will help you. The sun in our solar system is so large.
How large is it?
1.3 million Earths would fit inside of it. Yikes. You can't fathom that big. And God measures that universe with the span of his hand, poetic language, that he's infinitely bigger than anything we can even imagine. We can't even imagine this big, and God's bigger. This is nothing to God. This doesn't even take up a megabyte of hard drive. What is a nanogate? Tish Radin, whatever the measurement is for that uses up the space, doesn't take up any space. There may be as many as 3 sextillion stars in the universe. That's just one universe, by the way. That's 3 followed by 23 zeros, more than all the grains of sand on the earth. And he knows each one by name. Not one of them is lost. Neutron stars formed by a massive star exploding are so dense that just a teaspoon of their material would weigh more than Mount Everest. God spoke it. Boop, there it was. Nothing. Didn't drain him. Didn't wear him out. The explosion can spin a neutron star at speeds of more than 600 rotations per second. Estimation from the Hubble Space Telescope have led astronomers to believe that there are at least 100 billion galaxies. Woo! Our universe is estimated to have a width of 93 billion light years. One light year? It's the distance light travels in empty space in 1 year, 186,000 miles per second. One light year is 6 trillion miles. And God's got it totally under control. He's not sweating. He's not like the new employee where things get out of control like it's a Laurel and Hardy movie. No problem. That's your immense God. And he's the one who's orchestrating everything, ultimately. He's the one who is determining how successful the devil is or isn't for his good purposes and for yours. Don't fret about the conspiracies. Look, study them if you choose. That's your thing. Oh, that's okay if that's what you want to do. But don't let it get you tangled up in knots. Oh, no. What are we going to do? God's not fretting. God's not worried. The devil is God's devil. He's on a leash. It's a zip line. It's one of the, God just lets it out a little bit, pulls it right back in. Lets it up, pulls it in, pulls it, let up. And even the devil doesn't know how far his leash is going to go on any given day. Let the immensity of God cause you to be calm in these conundrums and conspiratorial theories. And to find ourselves, not like the rest of the world, freaking out, in a panic, worried about what's going to happen and not have. How many people are going to wear masks? How many people are not going to wear masks? How many people are going to be hurt by the how many people are not? God's got it. And there is nothing happening that he has not ordained for his glory and for your good. Let the conspiratorialists ponder and muse. We have the Word of God. We have an immense God, and we are not afraid. This is Wretched Radio.
If you're like most people, you have a passion to see souls saved, but don't know where to start. Might I suggest Hearts for the Lost? They assist local pastors and church congregations by helping them equip the saints with biblical principles for personal evangelism. They fly out to your church, put on an evangelism seminar, and then go out into the streets with you to put it into practice. And it's all free. To learn more or to schedule a conference, go to heartsforthelost.com. Heartsforthelost.com.
Know your church fathers. Ambrose was the Bishop of Milan in the 4th century and one of the four original doctors of the church. He defeated Arianism by appealing to Scripture and using well-reasoned arguments. Ambrose reminds us that a faithful teacher is a blessing to generations of Christians. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Well, this is the weirdest thing I can... Joey, I can't find my You Be the Judge button. This is the crazy... Normally, it's right on the computer. I'm pushing all the buttons. Nothing's... Well, let me push this button and see if this particular stinger works. Let's give it...
Happy birthday to you.
Oh!
Wow, I telegraphed that one. You know I am a disco fiend. I grew up listening to Mickey Mouse Disco and Sesame Street Fever.
For which America owes you an apology.
Yes.
Happy birthday, Joe. Thank you. By the way, what decade of music is yours? I've noticed this is kind of a trend. What decade is it, like, do you kind of dig the hits?
Oh, like I look...
90s. 90s, you gotta probably, be 90s. Yeah. Yeah, see, we were out for a walk. Because we can in Georgia. We're out for a walk, and there was a guy. He was there were really two signs. He was working on his little red Corvette, and he was jamming.
Was he wearing a raspberry beret?
No, but it was like Tears for Fears banging on his radio, and it's like, so, dude, you graduated in 80 what? Because that's, you can tell how old somebody is by what. Oh, you like that classic rock? You graduated in the 70s, didn't you? Got it. You like Britney Spears. Gotcha. 90s for you. Is there anybody who's still playing Britney Spears?
No, I don't think so.
She's big in Vegas, I think. But I'm not sure. So happy birthday to you.
Thank you. Enjoy your
decade of music. Now, let me see if I can find the little dealio where we do the thingy-mabob so that we can get into the... Well, you know what I'm talking about.
Be the judge.
You want answers? I think I'm entitled. You want answers?
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
Order in the court.
Couple of conundrums for your consideration and alliteration. Church, let's talk, shall we? For the most part, it seems that most churches rather rapidly got their brains around, all right, the experts are telling us this thing could kill an awful lot of people. We studied together about the assembling of the saints. What are the implications for not assembling for a cause such as this? Recognizing that whether you do it on the internet or you do a drive-up sort of church, that's not church, because face-to-face, that human interaction, that's the New Testament model of church. But for the most part, I think 97-8% of churches, they said, but it makes sense that we would not get together because that could end up causing people to get sick and die. Well, that was, wow, 2 months ago now? When did all of this on a national scale start? Was it about 2 months ago where churches were told, don't get together, so you do it online? Well, now there's talk, at least in some states, for instance, because the goalposts keep getting moved, that in Illinois, for instance, it might be another year. What? Question, if this continues, will churches start to change their tune and say, you know, government, you told us to shut down. We got it then. We're not getting it now, and we're not going to do it. Will each church start writing its own coronavirus rules? Will they start practicing their own social distancing, whatever it is that they determine is the safest way for us to get together? Or will they just ignore it totally? At what point did the consensus that I think for the most part most people had initially, is it starting to be challenged because of the duration? We understood that the assembling of the saints, I think we see the natural law principle that it is one day a week. We get together on the Lord's Day. And yet, this particular law made for man, not man for the law, we could understand that there could be some very short seasons when we could say it's reasonable to not. A pregnant woman delivers a child. Nobody thinks she's sinning by missing church as she delivers a baby on a Sunday morning. And the same thing, I think, was accepted when it came to coronavirus in church. All right, we'll shut down for a little bit. We were told maybe 4 or 6 weeks. We can handle that. Well, now it's 2 months. What if it's a year? Will churches start saying, no, governor, can't do that? We have got to get together in obedience to God. If this continues, if you haven't thought it through and you've got nothing else to talk about at your elder meeting, might want to get thinking about this one ahead of the game. Because it seems to me it could be a consideration, and it might just be that time has changed the way that we view this. Do I have the answer to it? No, I don't. It seems to me every state is different. Every region in the state is different. Your understanding of what's going on with this is different. But could it be that we start seeing more and more churches saying, no, for whatever their reasons are, get ready, because I suspect if it continues for a whole lot longer, we might not have the unity on this one that we once did, which raises a second conundrum. We've been shut down, quarantined, Mother's Day, and let's see, April. Well, we missed April Fool's Day. We missed St. Patrick's Day, Cinco de Mayo. That was all shut down. What about 4th of July? The governor of Oregon has said that now nobody, not going to be open up till July 6th, which I thought was a little interesting. 2 days after the 4th of July, I did the math on that one. Does that bother you? Does that bother you more than any of these other holidays? And if so, why? Why would it trouble us more on the celebration of the Day of Freedom than it did the day before or the day after? A conundrum for your consideration. Here's a third conundrum. Churches taking loans from the government with the promise that if you spend the money on the things that they tell you to spend the money on, They will simply wipe it out. It'll be more like considered a grant. If you use the money for the purposes that whatever that particular program is, then congratulations, it's just money. There are some Christians who are saying, not on your tintype, Missy. Now, I don't know how many Christians are actually speaking like they're stuck in the 1920s, but there's a lot of people that are going, no way. Do not want to take money from the government. It's bad enough that we're 501c3. but we're not going to be actually taking money. Okay, we don't have to pay taxes, but we're not going to be taking money from them because they could use that to control us. Other people are saying, well, it doesn't seem to be the case, so why not take the money if it helps us to stay in business, if you will? Once again, I think we've got ourselves another conundrum that is confronting Christians in this situation. The question, of course, is how is each individual church going to make these decisions? And I think that that is the answer to each of our conundrums, that the individual church needs to be making these individual decisions. Can we talk about it on a national scale? Of course. But do I think with some of these applications of principles that there should be a generally agreed upon consensus on a national scale? I don't think so. It should be done in the local church as they wrangle with it in their situation. How many people are sick? How many people are dying? Where it's at? What they think is happening? What the government's, who's leading the government? All of those things. I think that we just need to let each individual church make those decisions. After all, we do like the idea of states' rights. Why not church rights? And that my understanding of the issue doesn't necessarily apply to somebody else's understanding of the issue, and I'm not going to think that they're a terrible people or a terrible church because they make a different decision that I would make. Of course, the decision that they make that isn't in alignment with what I think, obviously it's wrong, because I think it, but let us not, as more and more conundrums arise, and they are going to continue to arise, let us really, 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 really work hard on not getting annoyed with other people who are not making the same decision. We talked about this, I believe, last week. It's the effects of the fall. Our brains, they don't work real goodly. Our brains struggle. And there are considerations that I don't have and that I do have that you don't have and vice versa that are going to cause different people to come up with different decisions. And as we live in this era of constant, perpetual squabbling over everything, maybe, just maybe, we could model something a little bit different, especially as we go about the business of debating these things publicly, when we leave a little post on the YouTube machine, when we make some comment on somebody's Facebook page, that we do it in a way that isn't so, nah, 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 nah. By the way, can I just say, for whatever this is worth, if you've been one of those people who've been posting on the Wretched Facebook page, I have to tell you, it just thrills my cold conservative heart to see the kindness that is typically demonstrated. There's a snark here and there, but overall, it has been exceedingly mature, and it speaks something, because if you go read some of these conversations and dialogues that are happening on other platforms, woo, does it get nasty. As the conundrums come up, and as we leave them in our wake, and as different Christians and different churches come up with different decisions, we will have unity in the essentials, but we still have to love one another when we disagree on the non-essentials. This is Wretched Radio. Whilst you and I perhaps cannot do much work, God has not been sidelined by a virus, and he is working and he is fulfilling his promise to build his church, even in Nepal.
So there are 65 Nepalese fellowships ranging between about 4,000 to 5,000 believers who worship the Lord every day. And we see conversion every day. Literally every day, people are added to the church.
The Spirit of God continuing to convict of sin, righteousness, and judgment, regenerating believers, filling Jesus' churches. And these new believers, they need Bibles. Would you please participate in this great work and provide Bibles to new believers in Nepal and around the globe? It is merely $5 per Bible. How many could you send through Bible League International? You can do that at wretched.org/Bible.
Where can you find over 2,600 episodes of Wretched TV, hundreds of hours of Wretched Radio, and see all of Wretched's newest resources? That's right. It's all available at the Wretched website, wretched.org, or as I lovingly refer to it, the home of all things wretched. There is so much at wretched.org, we couldn't possibly fit it all into a commercial. We tried, but the commercial was 6 pages long. Seriously, there is so much to find at wretched.org. You just need to go and visit for yourself. Actually, bookmark it so you can go there several times. Wretched.org. You'll find full 30-minute TV episodes, 60-minute radio shows, and countless biblical resources, including the Wretched Library, all waiting at wretched.org, thanks to the generosity of our gospel partners. Wretched.org, for all things wretched. Wretched.org, bookmark it and visit often. Wretched, amazing grace.
Good news? Yeah, lots of it. Due to the pandemic, guess who's been shut down for a number of weeks? That's right, Planned Parenthood. You know what that means. Women who are experiencing a crisis, they are fleeing to other centers to get prenatal help and free ultrasounds. That means preborn centers are busier than ever. That means you and I have an opportunity to support them to be giving free ultrasounds 80% of the time. Mom chooses life because she sees it's her baby in her womb. And we need some help filling up the warehouse at preborn so that they can provide prenatal services and postnatal services. Month of May, $100,000 match. Not kidding. Would you please support preborn.org/wretched at this rather crucial time? preborn.org/wretched.
Attributes of God. The Bible tells us of God's goodness. God does not measure up to an external standard of goodness. He is the standard. Because everything God does is, by definition, good, we can trust that God will do what is right in every situation. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
The thrill of victory and the agony of defeat.
You okay there, Todd?
Not really.
What's bothering you?
You know, if I've ever been confused about pursuing acting as a career, I think I resolved that issue right there, frankly. Spanning the globe to bring you the constant variety of a mishmash of assorted stuff that should be of interest to a Christian. So why are you crying, radio host? It's because as I went to press Wide World of Sports, which is the theme song you just heard, I saw this theme song. Oh, this hurts. What a theme song. No Wimbledon this year. Breaks my heart. But I'll get over it. It's just tennis. Speaking of which, I wonder how many things we are getting over due to quarantine. Undoubtedly, you've talked about that, haven't you? What's going to be the new normal? How are things changed or changing? What are they going to look like in the future? Joey, I think we should always play the Wimbledon theme song behind everything.
Oh, this is amazing. This is the new fanfare for the common man.
This is... well, it's not that good, but... I mean, you don't hear this kind of theme song typically. They've actually got an orchestra. What's wrong with this?
The arrangement is a little dated.
Well, of course it is.
I can tell what year you graduated.
I'm wondering about the new normal, if you will. If people are redefining what their priorities are. You know, for instance, let's just say that somebody, every year they go to Wimbledon. Wow. Imagine every year they go to Wimbledon. And now this year they can't. I wonder if they might go, you know, that trip isn't necessary. I don't need to be doing that. Now bring that down to something that's a little bit more practical and realistic. Clothes shopping. How many people who use clothes shopping or whatever your thing happens to be, whether it's sports, whether it's automotive, And you used to spend some time just shopping, whether it was online or whether it was at the store, you start to realize, you know, I don't need that many things. I don't need the new release of whatever the line is. I don't need the newest model. Huh. I wonder how that might affect the economy. And I wonder how that might affect just how it is that we live. I wonder if people are realizing, you know, I don't need to go to a movie theater and have my shoes stuck to the floor. I don't need that experience. I don't need to get popcorn gut with that 10W-40 poured down my gullet via popcorn kernels that were cooked in more grease than a John Travolta and Olivia Newton-John movie. Thank you! Dated references for 500, Alex. You know what that old joke needed, don't you? It needed an old theme song. There's all kinds of ways that things... Are things changing for you? Are you rethinking things? Last week, there was an article in the New York Post about all of the parents that were talking about how dreadful it is that they're going to have to spend more time in the summer with their kids because camps are being closed down. Becoming, that's the new book. I don't know how new it is, but for some reason, it's kind of hot these days. Michelle Obama's book, one of the lines that caught people's attention was she had to give up her hopes and dreams to have kids. Ooh, wow. That's fascinating. So job is more important than children? Sorry, it's not. And I'm an individual who has a job. I can still find a great deal of joy in doing it. But kids are better. Sorry, Mrs. Obama, that you felt like you had to sacrifice so much to give birth to two human beings and to have the privilege of raising them up in the fear and the admonition of the Lord. That is the high honor of parenting. She had to sacrifice the bigger things for that. I wonder how many people are reassessing their parenting. I wonder how many people are rethinking homeschooling. I'm noticing, by the way, more people are starting to homeschool, but we don't call it that old-fashioned Christian name. It's online education. They've even got commercials where they're offering, would you like to do online education? Your kids can stay home and do everything on the internet. Hey, I thought you guys hated homeschooling. I thought only stupid people did that and were not equipped to be teachers in order to be teachers in the home. Suddenly, culture seems more interested. Is that affecting your family? Are you rethinking any priorities? Anything that once perhaps you held dear that maybe is growing a little bit dim? Or vice versa? Something that you used to kind of, now it's just precious to you? How are you going to feel about the kids not being around as much? How are you going to feel about having to go back to work? There's another one, by the way. This has less to do with a Christian family, but it sure would be interesting to see how this plays out. More people working from home. That could be a new trend. Could change the entire economy, frankly. All kinds of things that could be different when all of this is done. And I'd hate to think that we waste our coronavirus. I've been giving it some thought. Have you? How we might be doing things differently? How much time we're spending doing this and that? Are my priorities on track? Look, it might turn out that you get a passing grade and it's like, you know what? It's all good. It's all sweet. I didn't need that exercise. Not a terrible thing to go through it. Can't hurt much. In Christian news, however, a couple of sad stories. Darren Patrick, he's a fellow who is a pretty famous evangelical. I don't know, how old was Darren? He's wasn't it like 40-something, I would guess. Apparently, he was out doing some shooting with a buddy. Self-inflicted gun wound. Died. Initially, if I'm not mistaken, it was actually reported as a suicide. That was pretty quickly retracted. And it turns out he was out shooting. Shot himself. 49?
Yep.
Is that how old he is? Yeah, family and kids. That's not good. Mount Pleasant, South Carolina, teaching pastor at Seacoast Church. Mount Pleasant, that's a burb right outside of Charleston, which is just about one of the coolest cities in the entire country. Ravi Zacharias also announcing that his cancer treatments, there's nothing else that they can do for him. And so he's returning from Houston to Atlanta. They made it pretty plain in the article to spend as much time with his family as the Lord gives to him. That's also a tragedy. To Ireland we go. Here you go. This doesn't help Ireland. I'll just tell you that much. This story does not cause anybody to think anything stereotypical about our dear friends in Ireland. An Irish pub is using a drone to bring drinks to the community during the shutdown. Well, you got to stay in business. Apparently, though, it doesn't always go well. They tried taking off with, what was the, they've got a different way of measuring things, with a draft of, we had a bottle of wine and a bag of Tato chips, Tato crisps, T-A-Y-T-O crisps, ready to go last night, but it couldn't take off because of the wind. So, if you're needing a drink that bad, you better make sure it's a calm night.
That's why you lay down trolley tracks. Model trains.
Hey, you know, we could all just have a little track going from the warehouse to our front door. Todd, we do. It's called Amazon. Exactly. Islamist militants murder at least 57, damaging a church, tons of attacks in Mozambique. It's not the only place your Christian brothers and sisters are getting pounded. New York Times reporting. Sewer cleaners wanted in Pakistan. Only Christians need apply. This is that persecution that is employment persecution. Who would have thought of a category like this? But because you're a Christian, you can't get hired for jobs. You can't even apply for certain jobs, or you only get the dirty jobs. Or if you happen to be a nurse, you get the coronavirus jobs, the riskier positions, because you are a Christian. While Christians make up only 1.6% of Pakistan's population of 200 million, yikes, that's back to 1998 census, Christians fill 80% of the jobs in the sewers. Lower caste Hindus mostly fill the rest of these slots. Islam is the religion of Pakistan. They spend hours inside the city sewers. Almost all of them develop skin and respiratory problems because of constant contact with human waste and toxic fumes. And for some, the job has even been lethal. Story after story of people. China's Jilin province shut down over 160 unregistered churches in 2019. Hey, if you happen to have some coronavirus free time, there's something that you could be doing, perhaps. Get on your knees and petition your Heavenly Father to take care of His children overseas where they are taking a beating. And that shouldn't just be a coronavirus season prayer. We should be doing that constantly for our brothers and sisters who are being persecuted overseas, because it is going on constantly, increasingly, and painfully. And until tomorrow, go serve your King.